Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
Save big money on your next project now at Menards. Menards is the leading supplier of quality roof and floor trusses. Choose from our large selection of residential and post-frame trusses or design custom trusses specifically for your project. Get started on your building project today in-store or on Menards.com. Plus, view our weekly flyer for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Hour number three, Robbie and Rex Road here at 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road. Nick Keyser here with you on this Tuesday morning. And we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our good friend Gentry Estes from the Tennessee. And Gentry, what's going on? How we doing?
Hey, good morning. Good to be back with you guys.
Appreciate you joining us this morning, Gentry. So we got a lot to talk about with you. Let's start on the SEC front. What do you make of... We were just having this big discussion on the ever-changing landscape of college athletics. What do you make of the whole USC-UCLA joining the Big Ten and what this all means for what I think is an inevitability at this point with two super conferences and the Big Ten and the SEC moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, I would agree. I think we've heard now for a while that it was kind of headed that direction, so I guess we shouldn't have been that surprised to see this latest move, even though – I mean, I don't like it. I don't think I really knew anyone who did like it. You're letting money take away from the tradition of college athletics. And I think everybody's aware of that, but nobody in power seems to really care about stopping that. And I think we're entering a new period in college sports that are going to be a lot different for a lot of reasons, that being one of them. And there's just a lot of things that we have grown to love about college sports and have always been able to enjoy that I don't think, you know, in the next 5, 10, 20 years are necessarily still going to be there.
And if that's the case, Gentry, what's the long-term prognosis, do you think, for college athletics? And even, take it to, non-revenue sports, things like that. I mean, I know there's other things that can happen here. We don't know how NIL is going to go moving forward, but are you concerned?
Sure. And to me, the biggest question is going to be what becomes of the NCAA in terms of organization, who's in charge, how do you enforce these rules, and how do you come up with a way to ensure that NIL will not turn into a pro or, turn into pro baseball where whoever spends the most. There's a lot of key questions about just the infrastructure of how things are going to be run. So I think to me that's, I guess, the greater concern than what the conferences are going to look like. But at the same time, the NCAA, in a lot of ways to me, has done this. They did this to themselves by just faulty leadership. There really hasn't been any leadership with all these major groundswells, milestone changes in college sports. They've just done nothing to try to guide. And mostly we're talking about football here. I mean, you mentioned non-revenue sports, and I think there's kind of along for the ride at this point, but the NCAA has done basically nothing to ensure that nobody knows what the rules are. And as we sit here right now, guys, nobody can say who's going to make the rules, and that's a problem.
Gentry Estes from the Tennessee and on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, Gentry, we were talking about this earlier in the show. You know, I think back to an article from CBS Sports in May that said the Titans were somewhat unlikely to have a top 10 defense. You know, Warren Sharp came out with his best front sevens yesterday, and the Titans are ranked at number 20 on the list. My question to you is, are we all just overhyping, overvaluing the Titans defense here locally, or missing the boat, or are national media members, national people, just blissfully unaware of the Titans defense and how strong I think it's going to be on paper?
You know, being here in Nashville, I have certainly noticed, and seemingly more and more, how little a lot of the national media pays attention to the Titans. I truly believe there are just very few people out there watching Titans games beyond the occasional Monday night, Sunday night game. And you see that manifested in things like this. There's no way the Titans don't have a top 10 defensive line. That's a joke. They had one of the best defensive lines in the league last year. I think they will again this year. Defensively, I think you got, 10 of 11 starters back? No, we're not crazy to think they're going to be good defensively. They ended up, I think a lot of people are still probably unaware of how much the defense improved last year. It's one thing about the NFL, and you see this every year. We don't know what to expect, and it's proven every single year. We went into last season thinking the Titans were going to be a team that gets out there and scores 45 points and can't stop anybody because that's kind of how it had been the previous year. Well, that changed completely by the end of last season. They lose Derrick Henry, and they're actually still pretty good because of that defense. But the defense never really got a lot of the credit, I think, for the players that were on that side of the ball, because what ends up happening is Mike Vrabel wins Coach of the Year, not to say he didn't deserve that, but I think the narrative that was painted was, gosh, Mike Vrabel sure is a great coach to do what he did with these players. And it's like, well, maybe the players were a little better than people think. And it seems like that's always the case with the Titans, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it's but it's just like that one is really, because I don't know. I don't know how much you follow these various. I mean, there's just so many options out there. But I like Warren Sharp. Like, I follow his stuff. I think it's pretty good. This thing is like his staff voted on it. He may need to have like a staff meeting. It's really dumb. You know, I mean, this is a pretty extreme one. That said, Gentry, I will say that overall, although I think that it's weird how the Titans defense seems to be largely being overlooked or underrated, I'm kind of on the Colts bandwagon here as camp approaches and the season gets closer, just because I have such worries about the Titans offense. What's your sense right now, just for, you know, for those two teams as they head into camp?
I will agree with the Matt Ryan influence versus Carson Wentz. I think Matt Ryan will fare a lot better in his first season in Indianapolis, assuming he's healthy. I think that was a significant and much needed upgrade for the Colts. And then you look at the rest of their team, and there's a lot of talent there. They've had a lot of talent there. For the last few years, they've just never been able to answer the Andrew Luck questions. So I think I see why people are higher on them this year, because they probably should be. They have a better quarterback. But it just does seem like every time, every summer, this time of year, the Colts become the favorite in the division. Everybody kind of takes a long look at the Colts and likes them better than the Titans. And then, you know, the last couple of years at least, when the games start, the Titans fare pretty well when they play the Colts. And I think, to me, the Titans are still the favorite in the division because they've won it two times in a row. I understand losing A.J. Brown, and there are real concerns offensively. I mean, we're going to talk a lot about that here in the next month and kind of see how that plays out. But I like the defense a lot, and I think offensively you're kind of forgetting that they bring back a guy who's right now the betting favorite for NFL Comeback Player of the Year, and, you know, still in ESPN rankings that Jeremy Fowler does every year, still have the best running back in the league in Derrick Henry, so that's still pretty good. And you know, I think Ryan Tannehill, for everything you want to say about him, the guy's won 23 games the last two regular seasons, so that's not bad as an NFL quarterback. So, no, I think this time of year here around here, we take long looks at the Titans and we see the flaws because we see them up close. I still would put them ahead of the Colts in the division. That's just me.
Gentry, last thing for you here. What do you make of the spot that Nashville SC is in right now as they head down the final stretch of the regular season into the MLS Cup playoffs?
Yeah, it was a really good game the other night. They had LAFC in there, and LA debuted a couple of their big-time European signings, Gareth Bale and some pretty serious talent they brought in this summer. And LA had one of the best teams in the league. And, you know, Nashville played pretty well. That was they were tied at halftime and, you know, pushed at the end and lost 2-1. But pretty well-played game. They've had some hiccups here recently, Nashville has. 4-1 loss at Charlotte that was especially ugly to an expansion team, and giving up four goals is not something they've really done a lot here. They've always had a pretty good defense. So there's been some uncharacteristic hiccups for them this year that have kind of, you know, made you concerned here lately. But as you look right now, they're still very much in position to get a playoff spot. They have a lot of home games left because they opened the season playing 2 months on the road. So I still think you're going to see Nashville as a playoff team, and then soccer probably even more than hockey or baseball. If you get in the postseason, you can win it. It's pretty much a coin flip, you know, when you're talking about postseason for some of these soccer games. They're going to have to get better at penalty kicks, though. That's the one thing.
Yeah.
they're knocked out of a cup already with penalty kicks this year.
I don't think there's any question about that. Gentry Estes from the Tennessee and our guest here on Robbie and Rextro. Gentry, great stuff as always. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning.
You bet. Take care, guys.
We'll react. Take your thoughts, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025 on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. That's coming up next. We've hit the halfway point of the baseball season, and you can turn big hits and dingers into big wins with FanDuel Sportsbook before the Midsummer Classic. Right now, new customers can step up to the plate with a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. Just sign up using promo code ROB. Place your first bet, and FanDuel will give you up to $1,000 back in free bets if you don't win. The Home Run Derby is behind us. Juan Soto getting it done last night. The All-Star Game coming up tonight. I'm going with the American League. I think they're stacked in this game. But you take it any way you want to take it. Just make sure you do it on America's number one sportsbook, FanDuel Sportsbook. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Sign up using promo code ROB to get started with your no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Thanks to Gentry Estes from the Tennessean for joining us in the last segment. Interesting stuff from Gentry Estes. The Titans, we talked about this a little bit earlier. Number one, we just had Nick Saban like invade our studio. That was crazy.
That was freaky.
Just all of a sudden volume is just everywhere, and it's Nick Saban speaking over us as if we're some, I don't know, alien planet that he's conquered.
I, for one, celebrate our new overlord, Nick Saban.
Yes, thank you. Don't we all? But we brought this up earlier in the show. So I saw this yesterday from Warren Sharp, who put this out there at his website. So Warren Sharp covers the NFL and spends a lot of time doing analytics and kind of taking a deep dive at some of the numbers, and has some people that work for him and help him do that. And they came out with their best front sevens of 2022 heading into this season. And the Titans are at number 20 on this list that they've come out with at sharpfootballanalysis.com. So under the description, it says, quote, a front seven anchored by Jeffrey Simmons and Harold Landry has potential, but the unit lacked consistent production. Tennessee ranked 25th in pressure rate, 28th in pressure rate on non-blitzes. That was the description that goes along with it. And, Joe, maybe think back to a CBS Sports article from May that had the Titans as somewhat unlikely to finish as a top 10 defense in the NFL. So it has me thinking, like, are we too close to the forest here in Nashville with this Tennessee defense? I think everybody feels like the Titans defense is going to be pretty good around here. Certainly, they closed out the season playing really well last year, and they've got, as Gentry pointed out, 10 of 11 starters coming back on that side of the ball. So what do you make all this, kind of the divide between the local view of the Titans defense and the national view of the Titans defense, which doesn't feel like they're anywhere close to being on par at all as the same?
Yeah, this happens a fair amount, and I'd say that it does have to do with what Gentry mentioned, which is the Titans are, I guess, not a sexy team. They're not a bigger market team. They do get some national TV exposure, and that goes with performance. They got more this year because they've been very good, but It does seem to me that they are a not often casually watched team by NFL media. I mean, that's all I can really.
Well, I have determined nobody has any idea who David Long Jr. is.
Yeah.
Not a single clue.
They think,
and that goes back to draft stuff. Like, they have no idea who David Long Jr. is.
He's the second best known David Long Jr. in the NFL.
Yes.
After the Rams corner. But, like, if you go by anything you want to go by, for example, I mean, just sack percentage, okay, last year. This is an objective stat. This is not, because, you know, pass rush, win rate, all those things, there is some subjectivity to those, right? I mean, just sack percentage last year. The Titans were 7th in the NFL. At 7.25%. That's a big number. In 2020, they were at 3.54%. They had a massive increase in sacks. They were really good against the run. They were all around excellent up front, and they bring everyone back. They cherry pick two stats here, and then in the same analysis of these front sevens, they pointed out that the Rams, who were number one, were one of five teams that allow fewer than 4 yards per rush attempt, which is just a traditional objective stat. Well, the Titans were one of those teams. They were 4th in the NFL, 3.9 a carry. So if that matters for the Rams, why does it not matter for the Titans? I mean, first of all, this discussion is an interesting one. It has been really exaggerated by this particular pretty bad ranking, which, by the way, is by Warren Sharp's staff, written by Ryan McChrystal, voted on by his staff. And I understand this. I mean, every year in various markets, you have these, oh, they ranked whatever player 7th, and oh, that's ridiculous, right? So it's part of like the summer. You're filling time. You don't have actual games going on and stuff. But this is pretty egregious. And it does speak to the bigger question that you're asking, and I agree. I mean, overall, I think they're underrated with defensively, and people don't understand how good. I think they don't understand how good Danico Autry is. Yep. Also, I think there's probably some dismissal of Bud Dupree, even though this is his first healthy year of the Titans. So there's, if you follow a team closely, you can point to all these. I mean, even Rashad Weaver, no one is going to talk about him, but he could be a really nice depth piece. Zach Cunningham, I think they paid him for a reason. They think he's going to be a big factor in being, I think, one of the best run defenses in the league, which still does matter, by the way. It absolutely matters if you can stop the run consistently. So there's a larger question. There's a larger disconnect. This one in particular, I still think, is going to be on an island. This is bad.
Well, it's bad. And look, I think a lot of the disconnect out there is, number one, I'm not kidding, I don't think people know who David Long Jr. is. But there's also the, like, if you just go by the traditional stats, like you look at Bud Dupree and you say, oh, okay, well, he had 3 sacks last year. Like, gave a guy $16 million per year and he had 3 sacks for you. Well, what good is that? I think if you watch Bud Dupree play as he got healthier last year, you could see the impact he had. I mean, that Cincinnati game, he's a force out there. So that's the expectation for him heading into this year. Now, look, there's a chance he doesn't live up to it. And if he doesn't live up to it, if Harold Landry's production last year was a fluke, then all of a sudden you're feeling pretty different about this defense as you look into this year. I brought up Danico Autry. He was great last year. But the fact of the matter is, Danico Autry is also 32 years old now heading into the season. So could there be some drop-off there? Like, if all three of those things happen, then, yeah, the Titans' defense may be in a little bit of trouble. But I don't know how you could watch those four play together last year, especially at the end of last year with the way that they closed things out, and not think that that is, if not the biggest strength on the team, certainly on the short list of the biggest strength on the team.
I mean, last I checked, playoff games are nationally televised, and they have their own TV window. So that the only NFL game you could have watched at that time was the Titans against the Bengals, and, like, even if you were barely watching and you were going to get, like, chips and go to the bathroom all the time, you probably saw at least, like, 4 or 5 of the 9 sacks, right?
I would hope so.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, look, Bengals' offensive line was trash, which, by the way, they still got to the Super Bowl.
They did.
But, my gosh, How does that game not maybe just kind of come to mind for a moment as you're going through these rankings? Pretty bizarre. You're going to find this stuff. And if we did a comprehensive preview of like the AFC West and spent a week talking about it, we'd miss some obvious stuff.
We would.
Because you don't watch it all the time. See, I mean, so I'm.
Although I'm an expert on the NFC North, I know all things Detroit Lions, Chicago Bears, Minnesota Vikings.
Are you sure? Packers. I think all you're things. Underrating the Lions a little bit, but man, we'll see. You're probably right. You're a little bit better there. Yeah. So it's like some of these things happen, but this is like, huh? Like you're supposed to be this is supposed to be. I mean, Warren Sharp. I follow him. He's good. I think. I thought. And maybe that's what we're finding out, that he's left his rankings to people who like need to do harder work.
Maybe so. By the way, SEC Media Days with Nick Saban off to a swimming start. Apparently, according to Gentry Estes, someone asked him what his advice would be for a student reporter covering one of his games. Sure, Saban was all about answering that question.
Well, that should have been asked of me because I was a student reporter when Nick Saban was a coach at Michigan State.
What was it like?
Oh, it was so sweet.
I bet it was.
He was really nice to the students.
Michelle Knezovic and Caroline Fenton are down in Atlanta at SEC Media Days. Our SEC Media Days coverage brought to you by Volunteer Hose and Gasket, equipment supplier in Nashville, including gaskets, hoses, and hose fittings, seals, packing, joints, gauges, fire protection, cups, belting, and more. If you need it, they've got it. Once again, that's Volunteer Hose and Gasket. We'll continue the discussion on the Titans. Welcome more of your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. Nick Saban up on the podium right now at SEC Media Days.
All right.
Packed house. Joe, I know that you're just really missing out on not being there.
I said during the break, he and I have sort of like toasted our coffee cups already. Like, I got to say, that is one of the worst things ever. The SEC Media Days. I'm so glad I'm not there. Oh my God! Now Gentry and I both like got out of it. And again, I don't want to act like we're lazy or trying to get out of stuff. But that event it's a TV event, so
yeah.
I don't mean to get all like in my day in the Big Ten, but like the Big Ten media days, at least how they used to do it, was they had round tables, and you could sit with one of the head coaches for an hour. And, you know, different people would come and go. It's almost like a blackjack table in Vegas, right? But the players, they're all at these round tables. So as a writer, you can sit there and you can get in some really good conversations, really valuable. This is crap. It's just TV. No offense to TV, although we are doing a lot of complaining about TV today. Yeah. But it's just, there's nothing to, you know. Look, the best thing about SEC Media Days, honestly, is that Bob Holt, who has covered Arkansas for the Democrat Gazette in Little Rock since 1981, I believe,
yeah.
is like asks like half of the questions, yeah. and he's always in the front row. And actually, he asks great questions, and he's just awesome.
He just asked Nick Saban if apparently it was raining down there, and the rain immediately stopped when Saban got on the podium. And Bob Holt apparently asked him like if the rain stopped because he walked on the podium.
There you go.
And Saban was like, no, I don't think so.
He also right. just got asked about a hypothetical, and he goes, those are my least favorite questions.
Yeah, he's really in a great mood up there. Why are we not spending the whole time talking about Jimbo Fisher? They should ask him about Jimbo until it makes him mad.
Well, someone
says something.
I mean, that's the thing. And that's where I guess these can be kind of funny because it's like someone has a controversy or something. You're like, who's going to ask the question? Who's going to step up? Or you maybe have like an Adam Sparks stand up and then someone send out a tweet that he's countryer than a hit possum. I mean, you have these moments at SEC Media Days, but they've got to ask him, right? They've got to ask him about Jimbo.
Oh, it's going to be coming at some point. I don't think there's any question.
And he's just going to dismiss it.
Oh, yeah.
It'll be boring. But anyway.
A lot of Titans thoughts on the text line, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. 1025. Ron on the text line says, the national media treat the Titans like we've still got Luck or Manning in our division. Those days are over. The Titans rule the South now. It's coming from Ron on the text line. I don't know if I would say that the people are acting like Matt Ryan is Luck or Manning, but there is a lot of Matt Ryan love out there. I will say that. He's been a great player throughout his career.
Yeah. So did this, the little Titans panel on News Channel 5 with Layman and Burton and with a lot of the usual suspects. Looking at a picture, it was a very pasty group, although I looked like a big fat red tomato sitting in mud among all of them. But I think the only person they did the whole Colts-Titans thing, and I went Colts. And I think I'm going to be kind of on an island in this town. You know, the last 3 years, I have picked the Titans to win the division. And they didn't in 19. They did the last 2 years. But we've talked so much about how the Colts get too much love.
Yep.
And now I'm part of the problem.
You are.
But it's two things. It's if you had to go to two things, it's one, it's the Titans offense, which I have major concerns about. There's a lot to worry about with the Titans offense. Love the Titans defense. Really, really don't love the Titans offense as constructed. And it is Matt Ryan. It's a hard one, though. I go back and forth. It's just hard to, like, someone, I think, it might have been Kaharski, was like, clearly, Tannehill's better than Matt Ryan. Maybe it wasn't him. I don't know. Someone said that, and I'm like, it has been true in the last few years, but it's so hard to judge that when one guy is quarterbacking a very good team and one guy is quarterbacking a very bad team, right? That's where it's hard for me. I would probably agree. Like, if you tell me right now, you can pick one of these, it's the same exact team across the board, and one of these two guys is quarterbacking your team, I probably would take Tannehill just because his athleticism is way beyond Matt Ryan.
Sure.
And that can, obviously help you, but it'd be very close. I don't know. It's like people who don't watch the Titans. How much Matt Ryan have you watched in the last few years? I haven't watched a ton.
They played against Packers a couple times. That's the only time I've
watched. So there you go. And he wasn't very good. Yeah. But the team was trash. So I've always respected him, and I do think that leadership and that stuff matters, and they lacked it so badly with Wentz last year that that's kind of why I'm drifting that way. But I feel like I'm going to be alone.
Here. I'm still leaning Titans, but I do feel like here there's less than, like, the national people, like we talked about the sportsbook odds, ESPN, when they come out with their whatever preseason predictions, when they they come out with those lists, you're going to look at the faces and be like, there's a whole lot of people picking the Colts to win the AFC South. I mean, that's going to be what it is. I do think it will obviously be less that way here, but I do think it's close. The other part of this is the Titans' schedule, and that's going back to, like, the defensive conversation. I think the Titans could have a really good defense this year, and they are probably still going to get exposed at times because you're playing Rodgers and Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes and Joe Burrow. I mean, some of the quarterbacks that they're, Justin Herbert, Dak Prescott, some of the quarterbacks they're playing this year are pretty outrageous. I didn't even bring up Derek Carr, who maybe you don't put in the same category as the Rodgers and Mahomes of the world, but pretty good last year, and now he's got Devontae Adams, best wide receiver in football. I mean, that could be a pretty explosive offense coming in here. So I do think it's possible that the Titans could have a pretty good defense, and there could be some games along the way where you look around and say, "Ooh, that didn't go so well. That quarterback's pretty good out there."
No doubt. I mean, you got week two. You're going to Buffalo. And I would think the Bills would be sick of losing to the Titans now after two straight primetime losses here. That's a tough one. Like you said, that is a sneaky interesting and dangerous game with the Raiders in week three. But look, I mean, that's the problem with this kind of same thing, at home again later in the season with Russell Wilson coming in here. Then you go see Aaron Rodgers. Then you get to see Joe Burrow. Oh, and then how about some Jalen Hurts to A.J. Brown?
Oh, yeah.
But you know, you got Herbert later in the year. You got Dak later in the year. If the corner group is average, even with a good pass rush, you've got to have everything working together to be able to shut those teams out. And I just think the Titans are going to have to win a lot more games, more like 20-17 this year. I just don't have a lot of faith in their offense.
Well, I mean, the good news is by the time you faced most of the elite quarterbacks, like you'll have Josh Allen in week two. Derek Carr is not an elite quarterback, but he's really good. You'll have him in week three. Other than that, I mean, it's Matt Ryan. It's Carson Wentz with the Commanders. It's Matt Ryan again. It's my best friend Davis Mills down there in Houston. I mean, that's the first 8 weeks of the year. You got Daniel Jones in the first week. By the time week nine comes around and you start that run against the elite quarterback, so you're talking, I mean, this is their five-week stretch. Mahomes, Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, Joe Burrow, and then you got Jalen Hurts. And then, as you mentioned, later in the schedule, Justin Herbert and Dak Prescott as well. By the time you get later in the season, you're hoping that, you know, Caleb Farley and that young secondary have come in. They've probably taken some lumps at that point, and then they figure it out and they settle in. Like, that defense, it ended so well last year, we forget about it. I mean, they got torched against Arizona. Even that Jacksonville game on the road, I mean, they got run through all over the place. They had some poor defensive performances to begin last year, and then they figured it out, and they were solid coming down the stretch. I mean, I guess that's the good part about the schedule, is the later it gets, hopefully your defense is set in stone in terms of the roles, and they got some experience under their belt at that point at the secondary, which is the place right now where you point to on defense, and maybe there's concern there to me.
Yeah, and what you hope for is that the offense – obviously you hope that the offense this year is last year's defense.
Yeah.
You just don't want this year's defense to be last year's offense.
No, you don't.
But you need the defense early to be ready, and you need the offense to grow into something good. It's not impossible. I mean, if you have two legitimate starters at left guard and right tackle out of four guys in the competition, and if you have Derrick Henry as vintage Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill as his best version and Treylon Burks is fine in camp and he – turns into a nice player as a rookie. Okay, it's a lot of ifs. It's a lot of needing to hope for this or that to happen. But I do think Austin Hooper is an upgrade. So it's not like there's no chance. But usually, if you have like four or five questions like that, like it's not realistic to think that four or five of the five questions will be answered your way.
Will from Nashville on the text line says, I agree with Joe. I give the Colts the slight edge. I think Ryan is a massive upgrade at quarterback. But it does seem like both teams have wide receiver issues, correct? That is the one thing I look at. I mean, obviously, we've talked about it with the Titans. But at the Colts, I still look around and I say, okay, Michael Pittman, a really good player. What else do you have? Like, you just took Alec Pierce, so yep. We'll see what player he turns into at the NFL level. I still wonder if old Julio ends up in Indianapolis. If I had to pick right now, I think that's where he's going to end up, the Colts. It just makes too much sense. I think they need another wide receiver, and obviously he knows the quarterback pretty well up there in Indy.
I mean, I'm a bit surprised that he's still out there.
I mean, I guess at this point it's probably coming
real soon.
Sometime in camp.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, I guess if he's good to go, you'd want him to be – well, I mean, you know, it's one of those things where Julio's maybe not a huge fan of practice. If he's a little bit banged up, he's going to opt for sitting. But if you're the Colts, you figure you want him in there as much as possible.
I'd like to see him go through like five consecutive practices and see if like the hamstring doesn't get pulled at some point. That'd be great.
Absolutely. But that would be – look, I mean, whatever – you know, whatever you're talking about, you'd be talking about obviously a value signing at this point for Julio Jones, and that could be a nice addition. You know, Paris Campbell's the guy who, you know, there's been hype for him before, but supposedly he looked really good in the spring, and I've always thought the guy had a lot of talent.
Sure,
if Pierce is good as a rookie. I like their tight ends. You know, if Campbell actually is going to live up to the height, we know Pickman's good. And if you throw in Julio as a fourth guy, better than the Titans.
And all of a sudden, looks pretty good.
I mean, it's better than the Titans receivers, you know?
615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll take more of your thoughts on the Titans on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. By the way, Whispering Bill on the text line says, if Rex Road was at Media Days, he'd blab on about George Perlis and Percy Snow. Hashtag yawn.
Stop making 80s references, Big Joe.
615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 1025, 1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road. Nick Keyser here with us on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. A lot of SEC Media Days analysis down there. Again, Michelle Knezovic, Caroline Fenton down there for all of it. They'll have you covered coming up later this afternoon at 2 o'clock.
I just tagged you on Chad Bishop's photo.
I see that.
Michelle asking Ben Bresnahan, Vanderbilt tight end, a question. And I think we got some other – we're lining up some interviews for them down there. I think we got a little Dennis Dodd going to be in there. I got Wolken lined up for him.
Yeah.
Dan Wolken, Vol Nation, get excited.
Stand and applaud with Dan Wolken coming up. It's good stuff.
Efforting Steve Spurrier, too.
Hey.
Remember, like, what was the thing? Spurrier, he used to go to Arby's,
He used to go to Arby's.
Yeah, in Hoover. Where it should always be, by the way.
I could just see Spurrier walking around the Arby's in Hoover. You know those, like, those suicide drinks where you go in and you fill up everything? Like, I want the Coke, the Sprite, the orange juice, all of it. Just mix it all together.
Love it.
For some reason, I could see Steve Spurrier being that guy walking in the Arby's.
I can too, yeah.
615-737-1025. Got a texture that says Sal Palantonio must have had severe stomach issues during that Titans-Bengals game. I do remember Sal coming on our program and talking about how Titans defense wasn't great in the playoffs and probably need to improve that in the draft.
Yeah.
I was like, huh?
Sal was kind of a good example of it's great to get different perspectives and national analysis sometimes, but really, who knows the Titans better than people who see them all the time?
Right.
Sometimes people who never see them don't know them very well at all.
Support your local.
But friend of the show.
That's right. Friend of the show.
Next time we have you on, Sal, we'll, I don't know,
talk to you about A.J. Brown.
Send some questions. Yeah, there you go. He will be able to give us full Eagles A.J. Brown analysis. That's right. Good call.
John on the text line says, outside of Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill, people have no idea who the Titans have on defense, so outside markets just dismiss them. That being said, they're at least 11 spots too low. That's coming from John on the text line.
But see, if you're going to cover the sport and you're gonna have a site like this, you just have to have more in-depth understanding of every team. And you can't cherry pick a couple stats and then ignore an avalanche of stats that tell you that they're actually really good. Or, you know, even if you're not going to watch them, I mean, we've laid out, what, 5 or 6 other stats that completely contradict what they said based on two kind of obscure stats.
So let's get into the Deshaun Watson part of this, because I would expect sometime here pretty quickly
Wait, is he on the Titans defense?
He's not on the Titans defense. I would expect at some point here. Yeah, good speed. At some point here, I guess relatively soon, there should be a decision coming down in terms of what his suspension looks like. Now, Pro Football Talk put it out there this morning. Here was the headline, quote, "The intent of Deshaun Watson to sue over a full season suspension may never become reality. The current thinking is that Judge Robinson's punishment will land in the range of 2 to 8 games," which is quite the range, 2 to 8 games. And I thought Lindsey Jones did a good job of pointing this out on Twitter. It says, quote, "that anything from 2 games to 17+ has been speculated over the past month. It's probably a good sign that no one actually knows anything about what Judge Sue Robinson is going to do. I'm really interested to see what this final number ends up being for Deshaun Watson in terms of the suspension forthcoming."
Yeah. And I just, if it's a year, it's already been, and I think we got to give our buddy Charles Robinson credit. He's gotten a lot of this stuff first lately on the Watson thing. The fact that the NFLPA will sue Yep. That was Charles broke that story. The NFLPA will look to sue the NFL in federal court if he's suspended for a full season, which has people upset, and I understand. Let's also remember with that. I mean, this is it's a labor union. I mean, this is the players' union. The whatever you think about this, and it's very clear that Deshaun Watson is a creepy sexual predator, but the NFLPA must represent him.
Right.
So it's like. So I'm not like that surprised by it, but it is interesting when you talk about suing in federal court if he gets the full season. To me, he should absolutely get the full season. But I'll be a bit surprised. You don't think he's going to? You think he's going to be partial? Also, according to Charles, by the way, part of the argument during the hearing was the word disrepute. Basically Watson making the league look bad. But of course, there's a lot of people who do that.
There's a long road.
If that's the case, Daniel Snyder should be like boat arrest for a couple years.
Yeah.
Just leave him on his boat for like 3 years,
Boat arrest. That's a good one. Yeah. I've never heard that.
I'm sure he'd be fine. Just get some like lobster flown in or whatever.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I think it's pretty clear it's going to be, I think, somewhere in the range of six games. I think we're going to circle all the way back around. Six games is what everybody thought to begin with, and then new details came out, and all of a sudden it was talking about a year, and now, Pro Football Talk puts it out this morning. Maybe 2 to 8 games is the range. I agree with Lindsay. Like, I don't think anybody truly knows what it's going to be. My guess is it's going to be somewhere in the six-game range, and they'll move on from there. That's just my guess. But, I mean, that decision, training camp starts next week. That decision's got to be coming pretty soon, I would think.
Yeah, I would think so. Obviously, Sue L. Robinson taking her time, it's a huge deal. Man, you may well be right about this. But, frankly, I hope he gets a year.
I do, too.
I think he deserves – the season. He deserves another season of sitting out. And, of course, if that happens, then it'll go on and on and on with this lawsuit. But I think that's what it should be.
Wes in Clarksville says, Watson's already punished by being on the awful Browns team. There is part of that. You got to play for the Cleveland Browns. A lot of very not nice things to say about Deshaun Watson on the text line, some of which I can't repeat on the air, but we agree.
Yes. I don't know that – I mean, frankly, if Deshaun Watson is playing on that team and he's playing like Deshaun Watson has played most of his career, I'm not sure they're an awful team.
They got Clowney.
He did have a pretty good year. No, the Browns actually have a really good roster, I think.
Their front seven was ranked significantly ahead of the Titans in this piece by Warren Sharp. I can tell you that.
Oh, boy. Yes, it was. What do they say about them, by the way? But hey, Clowney actually had sacks last year. It's to some people, that's all that matters.
Yeah. They were number six. With Myles Garrett and Jadeveon Clowney on the field together, Cleveland generated a spectacular 35% pressure rate. That dropped to 25% when either player was off the field. However, if both stay healthy, the front seven is a top tier unit.
That's fine.
Yeah.
I mean, they're probably about where they should be. I'm sure most of these are fine. It's just. Man, that is bad. But I think some of it is, even though it seems like, and this is also front seven, like they cited the run defense of the Rams, but the most part they're just talking about edge rushing.
Well,
here,
favorite description that they bring up is the Commanders. Because I think we would all agree that they've got some talent there, obviously, with Chase Young. But this is what it says. Quote, "We ranked Washington's front seven in the top five last year. But the production didn't match the potential. The ceiling remains high, but Chase Young must live up to lofty expectations. Young ranked 66th out of 75 edge rushers in pressure rate a season ago." Okay, well, that's fine. Well, then why do you have him at number 10? Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you're projecting. Yeah. I mean, is this what they were, or this is what you're projecting?
Well, that's a combination.
Yeah, and that's a really surprising stat, by the way. I mean, like, stats like that are interesting to me. Pressure rate, it's a worthwhile stat to use.
Sure.
But the cherry picking is bizarre. But, boy, 66 out of 75, that's surprising to me.
Mike on the text line says, Rex Road for Supreme Court Justice with the boat arrest statement. Love it, fellas. You're the first human I've ever seen or ever heard of that says boat arrest.
I mean, it's not a bad idea, right? I mean, Daniel Snyder is staying on his yacht so he can avoid these hearings, so just make him stay out there.
You just make sure you got yourself a nice anchor out there, buddy. Anchor down.
I bet you he's not roughing it on the boat.
Yeah, but he's probably doing all right.
He's probably being all right. But yeah, boat arrest.
615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Vanderbilt is at SEC Media Days today. I think Clark Lee scheduled to be on the podium around 9:30. We'll get into the Vanderbilt football program coming up next. What should the message be to Vanderbilt fans in year two of Clark Lee's tenure as head football coach? We'll get to that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.